What is up, guys? Welcome to Pro Wrestling for Dummies. I'm Matt. I'm not the dummy.
I am Nate. I am the dummy.
And we're here to just go through old wrestling matches, some old stuff, some more modern stuff, Attitude Era, Golden Era, Ruthless Aggression Era, things along those lines. We even dabble into some of the PG era, quote-unquote reality era stuff, the 2000s. I have been watching wrestling for, God, probably about 15 years now. I picked up probably about 2008, 2009. When did you start watching wrestling?
I can't say for sure, but I do know that it was you who got me into it. I want to say it was maybe about 2018, 2019. It was after we got out of high school.
I was going to say it's definitely like right before the Thunderdome era. So like pre-pandemic wrestling, but also yes, like not long before, because we went to that AEW show in Dallas. That was like December of 2019.
It was, so right, it was like right before everything hit.
So, so we're just going to go through a couple of matches. This is the Hell in a Cell special. We're going to go over two matches today. First one being the iconic Undertaker versus Mankind at King of the Ring 1998. And then the New Day versus the Usos for the SmackDown Tag Team Championships at the Hell in a Cell 2017 pay-per-view. We'll start off, I guess, with the Undertaker versus Mankind, King of the Ring 98. This show happened on June 28th, 1998. Not too much after you were born, my friend.
Yes, that is 6 days after I was born. Technically I was due on June 15th, but my mother went to church that Sunday and everyone was wondering why she wasn't at the hospital. And 8 days later, here I actually come. And right, then 6 days after that, one of the most iconic wrestling matches happened.
Probably the most iconic Hell in a Cell moment, and probably some of the most iconic commentary moments of all time.
The Hell of a Cell match of all time.
That is probably my favorite Hell in a Cell match. And I've watched a stupid amount of wrestling, and it's definitely one of my favorite Hell in a Cell matches of all time. So, I guess we'll start off with this one. We start out with Mankind making his entrance with the iconic late 90s beige steel chair. Like before they even switched to the just, all right, everything's uniform. We get all the black chairs, all of the silver ladders. This is like, dude probably rolled up from Home Depot with that chair. Like he went to Home Depot in Pittsburgh before he went to the arena and bought this chair.
Well, I do have to say, I did not realize that Mankind was Mick Foley, and until they said it in the show, because I know Mick Foley. I've seen him a couple times in more recent stuff, but I had no clue that's who that was.
Yeah, but you don't even know like Mick Foley the wrestler. You know Mick Foley like as the general manager of Raw. Santa Claus.
Because I was about to say, he looked like a lumberjack the first time I saw him. Like just in,
yeah, you know, like, old man plaid. Santa Claus Mick Foley. You don't know like Cactus Jack, I'm going to kill you Mick Foley.
Definitely not.
So Mankind makes his entrance here and we get straight to it, man. He yeets that chair onto the top of the cell and just starts climbing the cell. This is something you asked about when we were watching the New Day versus the Usos. You noticed on the cage, there's a bunch of holes.
Yes.
Well, that is because of this match.
Really?
So the holes now are there and explicitly designed for the wrestlers to be able to climb up to the top of the cell. It's
fascinating.
There to make it easier for them to climb up. Mick has gone on record in some interview at one point and said that was the worst experience of his life trying to climb up the cell.
Oh, I can imagine.
Because it's just like trying to scale a 16-foot tall chain link fence.
Yeah, I remember them saying like his weight and stuff, and that shocked me because
he's
bit
of probably 250 to 280 at this point.
I was like he does not look that heavy.
Yeah,
he's a
big dude. So and he's just climbing the cell, man, just getting on up there. And so he gets up there, lights go out, we get the iconic gong. Just the most iconic thing in all of pro wrestling.
The one thing that I knew anytime that came up, I knew that gong very well. I always knew that because Undertaker is one of the few wrestlers I knew before even knowing wrestling. I knew basically two wrestlers in wrestling, And that was Undertaker and Kofi Kingston.
Yep. Yeah. And and John Cena from the Fred movie. Not even necessarily John Cena the wrestler, just John Cena the pop culture figure.
Absolutely.
Undertaker makes his entrance here. This is full goth daddy Undertaker.
340 pounds, by the way.
Yeah, all stupid beefy Undertaker. Just late 90s ministry out, like coked out of his mind Undertaker. And so he climbs the cell too, because Mick's up there. He climbs up there with him. And we get to a brawl. They just kind of brawling across, and the cell just immediately starts caving in.
That's something that I made a note. And the cave-in begins, because I knew that in this match, the top caved in, but I didn't know there was many things that happened before
So the cell, I don't know if you noticed it when you're looking at it, but the cell in most of the late 90s stuff up to this point is just chain link tied together by zip ties.
Oh.
And so if you really pay attention, especially later on in the match when the second iconic moment happens, there's zip ties like everywhere. There's zip ties all over the ring and everywhere, because they're just bursting at the seams, because there's 600 pounds on top of this thing.
Well, of course, yeah.
Every bit of it, at least 500. We know wrestlers' weights are exaggerated sometimes, but there's at least 500 pounds on this roof.
Absolutely.
And chain link fence from Home Depot is not designed for 500 pounds.
That's so shocking to me. Wow.
With no support. So they're walking across it and they're fighting, and we get to the first of many iconic moments from this match, where Undertaker just grabs Mick Foley by the seat of his pants and by his collar and just flings this man off the side of the cell through the table. And we get one of the most iconic, if not the most iconic moment of JR's career. I think the moment that probably made JR.
Absolutely.
And JR was already like kind of iconic in just commentary. He was already one of the best commentators of that time. But this moment kind of made him and King, with King screaming, doing his like kind of scream, and JR just says, "With God as my witness, he's broken in half." That's just one of the most iconic moments of all time.
It just baffled me though that Mick was down there for so long that they just replayed the same thing of him.
Yeah,
being
they showed this
like
highlight
six
from
or
like
seven times.
Yeah, like seven different camera angles for like the next 10 minutes.
Because Mick was just on the floor.
Yeah, Mick Foley's
underneath
asleep at this moment.
Yeah, absolutely.
We get Terry Funk and the whole crew. Sergeant Slaughter's out there. Vince is out there. There's a gurney out there.
Younger Vince McMahon.
Right. Yeah, a whole lot younger, probably pre-scandal Vince McMahon. we got the cage going up. The cell starts to raise because they're trying to get the gurney or whatever out there.
And Undertaker's
on top out there.
Still.
Yeah, Taker is still like just big chilling up top on the cage. So the cell's raising up. They get Mick on the gurney, and he's going up the alleyway, and they're starting to bring the cage back down. Taker goes to climb down the other side by the commentator desk, and then lo and behold, like the psychopath he is, Mick just stands up and says, "Nah, I'm not done with you yet."
I seriously thought this match was going to be over that. I was like, wow, the most iconic match is over that quickly.
Yeah, it's like 30 seconds. Sick. Bell, I don't even think the bell rings at the beginning of the match. I'm not 100% sure I heard the bell ring
at
the very beginning
so
of the match.
Either.
I don't think it did.
No,
I don't know
so.
That it did, but I don't know that I care either. it's again, it's like we said, it's one of the most iconic moments in pro wrestling.
Absolutely.
This is peak Attitude Era, like just peak 90s WWF. So they climb up opposite sides of the cell. We get a couple chair shots, some punches are thrown, and then Undertaker again just hellbent on killing Mick Foley, I think, just wants to murder this man. Choke slams him on top of the cage, and like we said earlier, cage is held together by zip ties and a prayer.
And caves in.
It just completely caves in, and Mick goes through the ceiling straight to hell, to the floor of the ring.
Wrestling is fake, by the way, everybody.
Right, straight to the mat with the chair underneath him, by the way.
Oh, I forgot that the chair was underneath him.
Yeah, the chair
him.
Is
oh
like
my gosh.
Right there. I don't know if he hits the chair on the way down or if it's like kind of off to the side and just adds to the dramatic effect. But the chair is definitely there. Like it's in the shot when he's falling through.
Yes.
So Everybody else comes back into the ring again. Terry Funk comes back into the ring again. Undertaker climbs through the hole in the ceiling.
And drops down.
And just drops back down like Spider Monkey.
I know there was one medic. I can't remember if it was a medic or if it was a ref, but one of them turned around, saw him, and bolted.
Oh, dude, he's like some generic producer guy. I don't even know who it was. Just straight up says, nah, I'm out, peace. Just yeets his way out of the ring. Terry Funk has some words for the Undertaker. Undertaker punches Terry Funk a few times. And chokeslams him out of his shoes.
Literally out of his shoes.
Just straight up out of his shoes. Proceeds to say, no, sir, you are going to the back. Which I'm surprised Terry Funk didn't bleed during this. Knowing what I know about Terry Funk, we'll investigate more of Terry Funk later. Terry Funk is known for just being bloody at all times. Like, oh. You breathe on Terry Funk and he bleeds. Like, that's just how Terry Funk matches go.
Absolutely.
So I'm surprised that Terry Funk didn't become just a crimson mask. So after this, everybody clears the ring and I guess the real match starts, I guess.
The quote unquote actual match.
Right. The actual match. So they're going after each other. There's a few punches thrown. There's a Mick Foley ends up being like kind of hunched over in the corner. And there's another iconic, just I keep using this word iconic, but that's just how this match is. Just a shot of Mick Foley's face and there's just blood everywhere. And there's a tooth in his nostril.
I thought that was like snot coming out of his... I remember asking you, because I was looking, I was like, wait, so blood's coming out of his mouth? And I was like, is that snot coming out of his nose? And you're like, nope, that's his tooth.
Yeah, it's 100% like, one of his teeth.
Excuse me?
Yeah. So I guess now's a good time to... how many injuries do you think Mick Foley sustained during this match?
Oh gosh, I can't even imagine because there were so many. We haven't even gotten to a lot of the very shocking parts of this match.
Yeah, there's even more like moments of this match that are kind of crazy. On the Wikipedia for this match specifically, this match has its own wiki page.
Of course it does.
Foley suffered several injuries in the match. A concussion.
Not surprising.
Dislocated jaw and shoulder.
Ooh.
Which is why he wasn't able to pick up the steel steps. That's the next part of the match. He can't pick up the steps because
I was wondering why he did that. I was like, that's weird that he was doing it that way. That makes a lot more sense now.
Yeah, he just straight up couldn't pick it up. So Taker picks it up and decides to hit him in the dislocated shoulder with the steps twice.
How kind.
Bruised ribs. Puncture wounds. Obviously, he's bleeding. Several teeth knocked out. Which is why there's a tooth, like one of the teeth, I think Mick says in an interview, it's either in his book or in an interview. I can't remember where he said this, but I feel like I've heard him say this before. That tooth that's in his nostril goes through his lip.
Oh, gosh.
Like that's why his mouth is bleeding so much is because the tooth like goes through his lip and like somehow manages to navigate its way up into his nostril.
I wish there was video right now because I feel like our listeners would really appreciate seeing my face.
Yeah, your facial reactions are kind of hilarious. So we're definitely going to have to.
Because I'm in shock. I will say this, not to say that like modern wrestling doesn't sometimes get like, oh my gosh, sometimes, but like old wrestling is insane you've shown
90s
me.
90s WWF, just it was a different time.
Back
man.
Before World Wildlife Foundation.
It's just it's a completely different time. Like it's just. They were competing against WCW and trying to win the Monday Night Wars and all this
basically
kind of stuff.
Before they were the wrestling network.
It was before WWE was really the only like mainstream pro wrestling you could find like on TV. Yeah, this is back when you could find ECW on some channels if you were in the Northeast, but WCW was on TNT every night or every Monday night, and you saw Raw on USA and SmackDown on UPN. Like, and even this is like pre SmackDown. Like, this is barely pre SmackDown, but it is pre SmackDown. So the other thing, Jerry the King Lawler points this out on commentary. He says that Mick is bleeding through his mouth, and he's not sure that that's from his mouth. He was right. Jerry was correct. He is bleeding internally. Mick is bleeding internally.
Oh my gosh.
As well. So, Mick Foley, ladies and gentlemen.
Wow.
Claps for Mick Foley. Dies for our entertainment.
Thank you.
How
Mick
Foley doesn't die
is a miracle.
Some of his matches are just insane. So yeah, more battery ensues.
And they finally get a pinfall 10 minutes into the match.
Right. We get the first pinfall attempt by Mick Foley.
Yeah, which was absolutely shocking to me.
Right. He gets a two count and doesn't end up getting the pinfall. He does a pile driver onto the chair, which is what he tries to do the first pinfall.
Yes.
the stump puller pile driver. So Taker starts getting some more offense in here. Mick goozles him with the mandible claw. Taker is like fading and fading. Before this, Mick Foley brings out our favorite weapon, my favorite weapon in wrestling history. Thumbtacks.
Oh, the thumbtacks.
I love thumbtacks.
It was so scary to see that ring sparkling. Cause like at first Mick was just like, oh, like teasing. It was just like, oh, here's a few. Oh, here's a few more. Dumps out the bag. And it's just like
a toddler with a box of Legos.
It literally
man.
Looks like broken crystals. And that looked terrifying.
Dude, it's probably worse than stepping on a Lego. That's probably
the
only thing that's worse than
stepping on a D4. Like,
oh,
trust
me,
as a D&D player, it's worse than stepping on a D4.
That's gotta be like probably the second most painful spot in pro wrestling.
Ugh.
I would argue like the only thing that might be more painful than that is like maybe barbed wire.
Yeah.
Like or like fire. Fire, I feel like,
that
would be
true.
The only other thing that I could look at and go, yeah, that probably sucks more than some thumbtacks.
Wasn't Mick Foley in a match that involved fire?
Yeah,
that is one we'll probably go over when we go over Mick Foley.
Yeah, so we'll do a Mick Foley special at some point.
We can probably do a whole special on just Mick Foley involving fire. Like,
yeah, actually, yeah, no, we definitely could. I can think of two off the
top
of my
head.
Oh my god, for sure, I can think of two. So, yeah, so we get the thumbtacks out. Mick Foley tries to slam the Undertaker onto them. Taker says nah,
and reverse
proceeds to. Backdrop Foley onto the thumbtacks, picks up Foley again, choke slams Foley onto the thumbtacks
again.
The first time though, like he kind of misses.
Yeah, it's not like it wasn't like fully on it.
Yeah, he kind of misses, and Foley just says, "Nah, dude, I'm taking the bump," and just rolls onto the thumbtacks.
Yeah, I noticed that because I was like, "Why are you rolling onto them?"
Yeah, he just says, "I'm just gonna roll onto them. This is gonna suck either way. I'm just might as well accept
exactly.
it."
Exactly. And then Undertaker's like, "Oh, sorry, you wanted on them? Here, let me help
yeah,
you."
Yeah, he just choke slams him onto him, picks him up, tombstone pile driver, old school tombstone pile driver, like. Before he started like wrapping the dude's legs around his face and making the weird face, he was just like, nah, I'm just going to pick you up kind of over my shoulder and just tombstone you.
Yeah.
Tombstone pile driver gets the three count. Undertaker wins.
Yes. The end of this insane match. Like I said, I had seen this before. I even saw a meme one time where it was, my body's not a temple. My body is the 1998 Hell in a Cell match. And now I see what they're talking about, because I think I have to agree with myself, like for me, because this was just insanity.
A wild match. It is an absolutely insane match.
Absolutely insane.
So out of 5 stars, what would you rate this match?
I mean, I think it's literally a crime to not give it 5 stars. This is the wrestling match in all of history.
So in your humble opinion, you would give this match 5 stars?
I would absolutely give this match 5 stars.
Very cool. Well, then we'll take a short break. And then we will get to the Usos versus the New Day, Hell in a Cell 2017. And we're back. All right. New Day versus the Usos, Hell in a Cell, October 8th, 2017, from the Little Caesars Arena, Detroit, Michigan, USA. Nate, these are two of your favorite tag teams.
Yes, they are. New Day, like I said previously, Kofi Kingston was the one of the only wrestlers I knew going into WWE. I knew him before I knew just about anybody else. With the Usos, they're always fun to watch, but I will say in this match, they were a bit hard to tell apart. I do know that you said that is...
Yeah, this is like peak, like waiting on the Usos to differentiate themselves from each other. Like they're starting to at this point.
Yeah.
Like this is the very beginning of like the day one... Like We Da Ones Usos, like Uso Penitentiary Usos.
Yes.
This is post like face paint and tribal garb Usos, but like pre bloodline Usos. So
right.
It's a weird like timeline in the Usos like story where they're
transitioning into part of Roman's gang.
Right. It's before Roman's the tribal chief, but it's very much like they're more similar to how the Usos are now versus how they were previous. Or at least Jimmy is. Jay is like a completely different character now. But we digress. Anyway, two of your favorite tag teams here.
New Day. It's a New Day. Yes, it is.
New Day rocks. This is peak 2017 WWE right here.
Back before Big E got real badly hurt.
That is before Big E gets destroyed by Ridge Holland and ruins his wrestling career. But we don't talk about that. Anyway, peak 2017 WWE right here. We start the show off with the super dramatic Hell in a Cell intro here. The cell's lowering, New Day entrance right away. First match of the card.
Mm-hmm.
The heck of a way to open up the night.
Absolutely.
This match was probably the best match on the show. I can't think of any other matches on the show that were good, which is
That's kind of sad.
On the fly here, I'm going to have a Google. We're going to look at what matches were on this card.
See if there's anything good.
Let's see if there's anything else that was worth a flip on this card.
But you do have to admit, when you're going in with something like this, it's really hard to keep up that momentum of keeping this high of intensity, this high of, like, not threat, but what's the word I'm looking for? Kind of like, I guess, ferocity of this. Of
just, yeah, like, this is probably the only
high stakes.
Yeah, this is the highest stake. Oh my God, this card. Oof. Okay, so this is the, so there's a pre-show match for this show.
All right.
It is Chad Gable and Shelton Benjamin.
I've never heard of either of them.
Versus the Hype Bros, Mojo Rawley and Zack Ryder.
Again?
Three of those four wrestlers are no longer employed at the company.
I do not know either, any of them.
That's the pre-show match. So the first match on the card, proper, the main pay-per-view itself, is Usos versus the New Day. The match right after this is Randy Orton versus Rusev.
Oh,
that's probably one we should watch at some point. I bet that one's pretty
good. Alrighty.
Decent.
Stay tuned for that one, guys.
Match number four on the card is, oh my God, you know how I said AJ Styles was on this card. Triple threat match, Baron Corbin, AJ Styles, and Ty Dillinger. That's a name I haven't heard in a
I know
really
two of those three.
Long
I don't
time.
Think I know Ty Dillinger. The name actually does sound familiar. Maybe I saw
well,
like
he's now he's known as Sean Spears, the chairman Sean Spears. We saw him in AEW.
Oh, so once. He's moved companies.
Well, he's back now.
Oh, okay.
But previously employed as Ty Dillinger, then went off to AEW. Now he's back in NXT. Match number five. Charlotte Flair versus Natalya for the SmackDown Women's Championship. Don't care about that match
Me neither.
The slightest.
To be honest, I don't care about just about anything Natalya's in. So
you want to take a guess on who you think is the WWE champion at this point? I forgot that this championship reign even existed.
This is the men's championship.
This is the main, like, this is the belt Cody has. Like, this is belt, the WWE championship.
Well, this you said this is before Roman really got more popular.
Well, so this is like peak Roman has go away heat, which is everyone is booing Roman because we just don't want to see Roman. We're just bored of Roman.
Right.
I think this is also like right as he like got his leukemia came back.
Right.
So this is before we started liking Roman again.
Right. Okay. Maybe I'll guess this. I don't think I'm right. Is it Cena?
It is not Cena.
Okay.
I'll give you two more guesses.
Okay.
Cena is not on the show.
Okay, I don't know if this wrestler is or has ever had this title, but is it Drew McIntyre?
He has had this championship, but it is not Drew McIntyre. Drew McIntyre, I think, is still in NXT at this point.
Okay, the last guess that I have is your boy, Finn Balor.
No, Finn Balor has not held this championship.
Oh, really?
It is Jinder Mahal.
Who on earth is that? That's why you want me to
guess,
'cause you knew
day
I would know that.
Maharaja.
Oh my
defeats
gosh.
Shinsuke Nakamura in a 12-minute match for the WWE
Nakamura?
Championship. I forgot this title reign existed, and that's probably for the best.
Oh, that's
something we should go back and watch at some point, because I forgot this championship reign existed. And that's part of the reason why 2017 WWE is like remembered so unfondly by wrestling fans is because of this championship reign. Oof. He had the belt for like, it felt like forever. It felt like he had this championship for a stupid amount of time. And I think he only had it for like 6 months.
Really?
But it felt like he had it forever. Like just, it was a stupid amount of time.
Wow.
Next match of the card is the cool down match before the main event. Bobby Roode versus Dolph Ziggler. I bet that's probably a banger. Those are two really good wrestlers. I bet that's probably a banger of a match.
Dolph, I know. Bobby Roode, I don't.
I don't remember that match. And then, your ladies and gentlemen, your main event of the evening. Falls Count Anywhere, Hell in a Cell match. 39 minutes on the dot. Kevin Owens versus Shane McMahon.
Wow. What a way to end things
out. Wow, man.
Woo. Don't get me wrong. I like me some Kevin Owens. But...
Man, and I love me some Shane O'Mac, too. But, like... Shane McMahon prior to, like, I'd say, honestly, Shane McMahon, anything after the year 2003 is probably a no-go for me.
Man.
I think his novelty just wore off after, like, the Attitude Era.
Right.
After the Invasion storyline and after he got, like, yeeted by Kurt Angle and yeeted by Steve Blackman and yeeted in general by every other member of the roster in 2001, in 2002. I think anything Shane McMahon, like, especially post 2010, that's a no-go for me. I think he's too old for it. And it's kind of hilarious that he tried to have a comeback last year at WrestleMania.
He did?
Okay, so at WrestleMania last year, WrestleMania 39 in LA.
Yes.
He comes out to make a surprise appearance to wrestle The Miz while The Miz is in a suit and tears both of his quads.
Oh, God.
In the middle of the ring, live on WrestleMania, tears both of his quads.
Ow.
And we have not seen him since.
I wonder why.
So anyway, back to the match at hand. The Usos versus the New Day.
I do have to say this. I thought this was so, so funny that I remember watching Xavier talk and they were like doing like the whole like hype up thing. I was thinking, why in the world is he holding his mic like that? And you immediately, before I said that, just went, I love the way he holds his mic.
Yeah, Xavier holds his mic like
a pencil.
He holds it like a sommelier would hold like a glass of wine.
Yes, that's what it
like,
is.
Like, he holds it in a very prestigious way for a guy who just sits around and plays video games all the time and then wrestles.
Yeah, they're such bros. All
they're all total bros, and they're for the boys. Anyway, so we get to the match now. Banger of a match.
Yes.
Absolutely banger of the match. 22 minutes, second longest match on the card. The only match that went longer than this was the main event, which was Kevin Owens versus Shane McMahon, like we said earlier.
Right.
Both of the Hell in a Cell matches went over 20 minutes. There's not another match on the card that goes longer than 20 minutes outside of these two. So we start out with the promo by the New Day, talking all kinds of mess about the Usos, talking about how the Usos have the Uso Penitentiary, but they're now part of the New Day Apocalypse,
that is
what Big E says.
Or it was either, it was Big E who said that. And I was just like, eh.
Yeah, it's kind of a little bit of an eye roll.
Yeah.
It's just a little bit of an eye roll. I mean, it's Big E, so he gets a little bit of a pass.
Of course.
But like, it's kind of an eye roll.
But still.
Yeah, it's kind of sus.
Yeah. Vince McMahon, I had said started to lose his edge, and you were like,
"Oh, this
started?
Is, he
this
has
is way past
the ship has sailed at this point. This is very much I'm questioning why I'm watching pro wrestling at this point in my life, and this is about the point where I had already discovered independent wrestling, but I was watching indies way more than I was watching WWE at this point.
Right,
I was watching Ring of Honor and New Japan. I hate to say the word like indies for those two companies because they were massive at this point in time with Bullet Club going on like crazy style.
Right.
But Ring of Honor, New Japan, Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, a little bit of like CZW, things along those lines. But like, obviously, because it's the big thing in town, we're watching WWE because it's what's on TV.
Of course.
It's how you get your wrestling fix.
And it's easier to find.
As a wrestling addict, got to get me a quick fix whenever I can. So, so we get the match starts. Usos make their entrance. This is peak. Like, this is my favorite version of the Usos. The, like, early day one-ish Usos. This is my favorite version of the Usos.
I mean, I will say this. I'm a sucker for anything, like, black and red. Like coloring.
Oh, yeah.
Theme.
They come out looking like they are part of the Crips, bro. Like they are straight up Crippin'.
They look super dope. I love it.
Not Crips. Bloods. I'm going to get shot now. If we go to Chicago, I'm going to get shot.
Oh, dear.
This is great.
We'll make sure to avoid Chicago.
Yeah. No, anyway, they look out like straight up red pants, white Nikes, just big chillin', not a care in the world. Jimmy and Jay, they make their way down to the ring. We get some more commentary banter, like just awful commentary. We have, I forgot to mention the commentary team for this one. We have Corey Graves before he was good, Byron Saxton, who was never good, and the GOAT, Tom Phillips. Just Tom Phillips makes this team. I think he's one of the most underrated play-by-play guys that WWE's ever had. What are your thoughts on the commentary on this match?
I thought the commentary was very good. I will be honest with you. A lot of times I'm too focused on the actual like stuff that's going on to like really hear what they're saying. I almost tune it out. Like there's been multiple times during like recent matches when I've heard you like I just hear talking in the background and you laughing and you're like, I can't with Pat McAfee. And I'm just like, what did he say? And you have to repeat what he said because I did not get a word of what he said. So like, I'll be honest, from what I heard, I did enjoy the commentary, but I was paying more attention to really what was going on in the ring, which is that's just a habit of mine. It's not.
Sure. Well, also like at the same time, like we stated earlier, I grew up with like JR and the King, like the later stages of JR and the King. But like I grew up with just absolutely stellar commentary. And absolutely. I was kind of spoiled by that. So like now the modern team of Pat and Corey and Michael Cole is like, that's the best the commentary team has been in a very, very long time. This is post Mauro Ranallo SmackDown commentary team. And the Mauro Ranallo SmackDown commentary team is like when the SmackDown commentary was the best, when it was Mauro and JBL. And I think Corey Graves was on that team too. It may have just been Mauro and JBL, but I don't remember. Mauro in NXT is goated. Like Mauro Ranallo, Mamma Mia, Mauro Ranallo in NXT. Mm-hmm. Anyway, match starts. I digress. We're talking about commentary too much. Match starts. What's the first thing you've got on your notes for the match?
For the match.
First holy bleep moment of the match.
I was like, wow, they're already bringing out the toys because they got out the kendo sticks.
Oh, yeah, immediately chairs and kendo sticks.
Everything. Yeah. I was just like, oh my gosh, they are already dragging stuff out from under the ring. And then the next thing I have is just Big E throwing, I can't remember which Uso it was, around like a freaking rag doll, just like by
Big
the
E
arm.
Is the absolute champion of this match. Big E takes some of the scariest bumps in this match.
Absolutely. There are some times that I'm wondering, like, is he okay?
Yeah, Big
E. Is he good?
They all four just go balls to the wall for this match.
Oh, of course.
And this was like when they 100% like had something to prove as far as like they wanted to put tag team wrestling and WWE on the map.
Absolutely.
And they succeeded in this. I would say this match is probably one of the better modern era tag team wrestling matches that I've seen in a very long time.
Definitely. It was very, very good because like I will say this, I love me a good tag team match. I was a little bit upset when it started that Kofi wasn't in it, but I was like, no, it'll still be good because I still love the New Day. But like I remember seeing that and I was like, oh, Kofi has to sit this one out. But he was participating as much as he could. He was like trash talking the Usos anytime they were up against the cage.
Kofi's trash talk is probably some of the best trash talk in this match. There's a moment where they have Xavier pinned against the Usos have Xavier pinned against the cage with the kendo stick. And one of the Usos just looks at Kofi and goes, hey, this is your boy. And Kofi goes, I know that's my boy. And he just gets like the Uso like hip attack in the corner. And it's probably one of my favorite moments of the match.
Absolutely.
Everything they did in that one corner, just that one corner, everything happened in that corner. It was always the, if you were looking at it from the hard cam, it was always the front left corner. Mm-hmm. Like one of the neutral corners is always where everything happened. It all happened right there. It's where, Xavier gets pinned against the cage, and then I think it's Jey Uso gets pinned against the cage, and they start like mollywopping him with those kendo sticks.
Yes,
like,
oh
just
my gosh.
Absolutely destroying this man with kendo sticks.
And destroyed the kendo sticks.
Yeah, there's a point where the Usos hit Big E once with a kendo stick, and it shatters on impact.
Yeah, and he just like turned his face to the side, and he looked like he was about to pass out.
Like you could tell they all had like an unspoken pact for this match, I would assume. I don't know. I wasn't there. I would assume they have some, because of the friendship these guys have together, they probably had some kind of unspoken bond where they were like, look, we're just going to beat the absolute snot out of each other for 20 minutes.
Oh, of course. And I actually, in my notes, I was saying all this stuff about like, Big E is the Usos pinata with them, with those kendo sticks.
Oh yeah. Like, they start beating the snot out of them. Another really cool spot we have in this match is Big E gets put on Jay's shoulders up against the cage, and Jimmy proceeds to suicide dive between the ropes and just absolutely destroys Big E against the cage.
As well as Jimmy.
Yeah, yeah. They all three take massive...
They're just down.
Yeah. Immediately. Jimmy, the one that dives here, I don't know if you caught this, after he bounces off of Big E, he hits his shoulder on the LED board on the apron.
Oh, I didn't even see that.
Yeah,
oh,
he hits his shoulder on the LED board and he comes up grabbing his shoulder.
Ooh.
So that had to not feel good.
Yeah.
Later on in the match, we get to one of the closing moments of it. The Usos bring out some handcuffs.
Oh.
This is where stuff gets wild.
Absolutely.
They handcuff Big E in the corner, or attempt to handcuff Big E in the corner. Doesn't really go over very well, so they kind of give up on that. They handcuff Xavier Woods and drape him over. This is when we had the LED ring posts.
Mm-hmm.
And they drape him over the ring posts and just start beating the crud out of him with these kendo stick
right on the chest.
Just all on his ribs and chest and stomach and everything. And it's just, that's one of the few spots in this match that like actually made me wince.
Yeah. And like, I was the same way, because I was like, that, I can't imagine just being.
That has to hurt. Against, oh, like, there's no way it feels good.
Absolutely.
Because they are swinging for the fences. Like, the Usos are not pulling these kendo stick shots at all.
Yeah. And like, Xavier is trying to fight back. Like, he even kicks.
Dude, he's kicking like crazy.
He kicks one of them in the face.
Yeah, like, he's kicking crazy style. So they let him go off the rope or off the post after that. And they start focusing on Big E again. They hit a few moves on Big E. We get a double Uso splash on Big E. Pinfall, 1, 2. Xavier Woods breaks up the pin. Mm-hmm. Just comes diving in the very last second. Off. Very last second. Like, almost gets the 3 count, but Xavier comes in, breaks up the count. So the Usos start focusing on Xavier a little more, bust out some steel chairs, and put Xavier on his back with a steel chair on him. Double Uso splash again onto Woods with the steel chair on his chest. 1, 2, 3.
And it's done.
New tag champs.
Yeah. Man, it was an absolutely insane match.
We had a comment about the, speaking of new tag champs, we had a conversation about these tag belts. You love these tag belts.
I thought it was really, because see, like, I'll say this, for the most part, I'm not a fan of minimalist design. I usually hate it. I hate it in homes. I hate it in logos. I hate it in everything. But I really liked the clean look of this. I liked the like silver with the blue and like the design on it of like the Trojan helmets. I thought that was super cool.
This could also just be me being a super turbo boomer for a minute. But I have always hated those belts. Even when they were just the regular WWE Tag Team Championships and they were black strapped with like pennies on them. I hated those belts.
You said these look like dimes.
It looks like a blue, like, it looks like a Laffy Taffy with dimes on it. It's awful. And the Raw one is worse because the Raw one is red. It's just a bright red belt. I'm so...
With the silver medals.
And they had these belts until like a month ago. They were still using those belts.
Wait, really?
Yes. These belts finally got put out to pasture after WrestleMania.
Oh my gosh.
Like last month.
Wow.
It's just insane.
Yeah. I will say, I like them at first glance. Now, don't get me wrong. I like the other ones a lot better.
The new ones?
Yeah. Yes. I like the new ones a lot better. But I still think that these are actually pretty good.
And I think a part of my problem with these belts is also just how long they were around. Because we got those copper belts in like the early 2010s. 2010s. I want to say like 2011, 2012. I don't remember specifically. It was when they unified the tag belts and then they had just one tag team championship for a long time until the brand split. Ironically, like not too long before this. But these belts are just, I think they're just ugly. And I think it's probably just me being a turbo boomer here and just hating these belts because I hate them. Not because they're bad, which they are. but yeah, new tag champs. The Usos are now, I think they said 5-time tag team champions at this point.
I think so, yeah.
They win the belts like 3 more times after this.
Wow.
and they hold them for a incredibly long time after this.
I will say, I do think it's funny that the Usos, my first experience with them was actually not watching a show. It was when you were having me play through WWE 2K. I think it was 2K21.
We were playing, I think it was 2K19.
Was it 19?
We were playing 2K19.
You were trying to show us the entrance that you made for us, and they kept coming out and attacking
us.
Yeah,
we made a creative wrestler. I made a creative wrestler for me. You made one for yourself. We turned ourselves into a tag team, and the Usos would not stop doing run-ins on us.
And I remember feeling salty, even watching a few shows after that, of just like, no, I don't like
we
them.
We just have an just a completely unbridled, irrational hatred for the Usos.
But then it's just like, I'm like, these guys are too good. I can't hate them.
They're probably the best tag, one of the best tag teams of the modern era.
Absolutely.
At least, fantastic. Like, especially like post-2000, like, after the Hardy Boys, Edge and Christian, Dudley Boys, DX, like the Road Dog, all like the New Age Outlaws, things like that, there really has been not much of a focus on tag team wrestling in WWE until like recently.
Yeah.
And I would say within the last 10 years.
And I assume that even in the women's division, there was like probably even less.
Well, oh yeah. I mean, the women's tag belts are cursed. Like that's just a fact. Like they're 100% cursed. It seems here lately, whoever has them, somebody gets hurt.
Oh,
like,
dang.
All the time. For whatever reason.
Didn't Bayley get hurt recently when...
Yeah, that was a long time ago, though. It was like a year ago. Your girl actually won those belts on Saturday.
Wait, really?
Yeah, Bianca and Jade Cargill are your new women's tag champions.
Oh, yes. So for those of you that don't know, my two favorite women's my two favorite women wrestlers is Rhea Ripley and Bianca Belair.
I'll give you three reasons why.
Okay, don't even... But like, it's funny because Bianca, I always loved as soon as I saw her. I was like, oh, she's super awesome. I love how bubbly she is and stuff. Rhea Ripley, when I first saw her, I was like, oh my gosh, she's very scary. And then I'm like,
then she became mommy.
But
yep.
As she says, mommy's always on top.
Indeed.
So I fell in love with her.
We digress. This match, Usos versus New Day, out of 5 stars, what are you rating it?
This, I would have to give a 4. It is a strong 4.
Okay. Strong 4.
It is a strong 4, but I think partially because of the commentary at the beginning.
Yeah, the promo at the beginning does kind of take away from it a little bit.
Kind of slows it down a little bit.
Yeah, I think if the New Day had just come out and the Usos came out, it probably would have been a little more powerful.
And then also I think it was a little bit hard watching this coming out of the 98 Hell in a Cell match.
Yeah, this, full transparency, we watched this after we watched Taker versus Mankind.
Like, immediately after.
It's just kind of a little bit of a letdown.
Yeah.
Like, now, it's not as good of a match,
yeah,
for sure.
But once again, it's not that it was not good.
It's not a bad match, no. It's definitely,
the whole
like
time.
I said, it's definitely the best match on this card.
Absolutely.
It is 100% probably the best match on the show, with the exception of maybe Bobby Roode versus Dolph Ziggler. But again, I haven't watched that match since I watched this show in 2017. So it's been 7 years since I've watched this show.
But yeah, I would give this show a very strong 4.
You give that match 4?
Okay. Absolutely.
I can respect that. Me personally, being very critical, I would give it like 3.25. I would definitely give it 3.25. It's not a bad match, but I think it's a perfectly average Hell in a Cell, and I think it's safe. Mm-hmm. I think it's too safe for Hell in a Cell. Mm-hmm. There was nothing in this match that... with the exception of like them handcuffing Xavier and pinning Woods against the cell and pinning Jimmy against the cell and like the kendo stick stuff and all that kind of stuff. That was the only stuff that when I look at that match, I go, man, that's hardcore. And to me, a Hell in a Cell match should be like the most violent thing that WWE does. And I feel like this is in that time period where they were really getting away from that.
And trying to be like, we don't want to
like,
rock the boat or anything.
This is super PG, super safe WWE, which I get. I mean, it's, this was at a point in time where WWE was not targeted at me. I was not the target demographic for this. Mm-hmm. The target demographic for this was children and like early teenagers. I was not, me being 19 when this match happened was not the target demo for this match.
Right.
Which I get. But at the same time, that doesn't mean that I have to be uncritical of this. Mm-hmm. Again, not a bad match. Give it like 3.25. Good, especially good for the time period.
Oh, absolutely.
And really good for 2017 WWE. I think this actually ended up winning match of the year for WWE in 2017.
Wow.
For the Slammies. I don't know that for a fact, so don't quote me on that, but I want to say this probably won match of the year.
Very nice.
Sick. So that is that's both of the matches we watched. What do you want to talk about next week? What do you want to do next week?
I don't know.
We'll leave this on the air. We'll just discuss this.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, there's plenty of stuff that we could talk about. Like, because we talked about this a little bit about like we were wanting to do some shows or some episodes where we talk about like certain types of shows. Like this one was our Hell in a Cell.
Right. Where it's a Hell in a Cell themed episode. Yes.
And then some of them we're wanting to talk a little bit more about like
specific wrestlers. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So like, you know,
I guess we'll just leave it to the comments. We'll put this up and like, you guys tell us what you want us to talk about. What,
yeah.
If there's a specific match you think we should watch, we'll go back and watch it. We'll try to cater to you guys the best we can. If there's a specific format you guys think works, right now we're doing two matches and we're like an hour in. So I think two matches is probably, considering we ramble sometimes, two matches is probably the length we should go with.
I think that would be good. Yeah.
We might do some like banger specials for like WrestleMania. And things
yeah,
like
exactly.
That
multiple, or Royal Rumble.
Next week, I'm just going to put this on the air next week.
Okay.
Mick Foley special.
All right.
Mick Foley special.
Mick Foley special.
We'll do three Mick Foley matches next week because I can think of like two or three off the top of my head that I think will be really good. And we'll go from there. Two of them involving one rated R superstar Edge.
Wow.
So we'll leave that little teaser out there for you who know what I'm talking about. Nate has no idea. So
I have no clue. Once again, Matt is the literal encyclopedia on wrestling knowledge.
One of these matches we have seen before. I have showed you one of these matches before, but it's been a long time.
I think I may know which one you're talking about I thought of something that I remember you showing me, and I think this may be the one.
Yes, it is that one.
Oh, dear. Oh, that's going to be quite the one to go back and rewatch.
Yeah, because it's been a long time since we watched that match.
It has been a long time.
Very cool. All right. Well, again, I am Matt.
And I am Nate.
And this has been Pro Wrestling for Dummies. I hope you guys enjoyed. Make sure you subscribe, give us a comment, rate us on podcasts, Spotify, whatever it is you use to get your podcasts. And we will see you guys in the next episode.
Later.